Here's a piece of music you'll hear a lot over the next couple of months. Doesn't it remind you that today is the first day of the rest of your life? A lot of people call this the commencement theme, or pomp and circumstance. It's actually March number 1 in D by the English composer Sir Edward Elgar. It's a section from his set of marches called Pomp and Circumstance. The piece is undoubtedly Elgar's best-known work, but it's his first symphony that was immediately hailed as the greatest British symphony. Halle Orchestra premiered Elgar Symphony No. 1 in A-flat major in 1908. We're listening to a recording by that group, conducted by Sir Mark Elder. Later this week, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, led by music director Maren Alsop, will perform the piece. And the maestro joins us now from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Something about the music just, you know, reminds me that education is a journey, not a destination, not a goal. But this first movement we're listening to now actually has very similar feel to Pomp and Circumstance, kind of the same swinging, striding cadence. Is there a connection?
You know, it's interesting listening to them back to back. I feel like the First Symphony is more for graduate school. You know what I mean? There's a sense of maturation and arrival. But of course, the fact that they're both marked in an andante tempo, which means a walking tempo, and they have this sense of occasion and nobility, and just hearing that music makes you sit up straighter, stand up straighter, you know?
Yeah.
And so I definitely think there are characteristics about Elgar's music, and maybe even British music in general, that bring this feeling of tradition and history and nobility, you know, which undeniably is related to the fact of their history being a monarchy.
Mm. Well, and you do use words like occasion and nobility. Is this all necessarily a British sound? Because every country in Europe more or less had a monarchy.
That's true. That's an interesting question. I think, though, for British composers, there is a shared history about music written for occasion.
Yeah, like weddings, births, major battles, that sort of
thing.
Yeah,
all those good things. And the British composers were particularly adept at capturing the mood and the sense of occasion. And Elgar certainly is at the pinnacle of that achievement. You know, I always like to try to put myself in the year in which a piece was written. So this is 1908, and Elgar has not written any symphonies yet. He's 50 years old. So there's a real sense of anticipation about this piece. And, you know, you have to think at the time, so Mahler's writing symphonies, but many composers have abandoned, as they do cyclically, the form of the symphony, saying it's outdated, outmoded. But Elgar really wants to take that traditional form and somehow imbue it with his own sense of proportion, majesty, thematic unity.
Let's listen to a bit of the second movement. Now, this has the sound of forces massing before the battle commences.
It does, doesn't it? I really think that's a hallmark of all great British music. There has to be some kind of battle music always. And But, of course, at the beginning of this movement, it sounds rather furtive and, you know, sneaking around. And this is a very traditional form, we should say, that having the first movement and then followed by a scherzo movement, which this is. But, of course, this sense of the military and the battles, that is interwoven into this movement.
Scherzo is Italian for hiding from the French?
Or at least playing a joke on the French.
let's listen, if we can, to the third movement, the very top of the third movement. This is when the smoke is clearing and the sacrifice is assessed.
Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? I really think this is one of the most gorgeous movements in the history of orchestral music, if I dare say that. Mm. And the amazing thing, he has taken that little opening of the second movement, the scherzo movement, and he slowed it down really exponentially. It's the exact same music. You can't recognize that immediately unless you actually go through and study the notes. But there's something that you feel. There's a unity about the piece. And I think the brilliance of turning that scherzo motive, which was so furtive and evasive, into this emotional, straightforward, lyrical melody is quite amazing.
Maestro Alsop, by the music that people listen to in 2012, is Elgar sometimes a little schmaltzy?
I don't know. There's something to be said about some good schmaltz every now and then. I wouldn't say schmaltzy. I would say perhaps he's naive in terms of that sophisticated emotional spectrum and conditions that we live under today. But I think there's something so special about a sentimental naivete that each of us can relate to. And maybe it's refreshing for me, anyway, to get back to that sense of melody and beauty of line that Elgar brings to us in this symphony.
Let's listen to one more movement. And this starts off kind of darkly. I mean, you just know something's going to happen.
Definitely. You know, it's all about narrative. Music is so much about narrative, and I think Elgar is a great storyteller, particularly in this symphony. It also sounds very contemporary at the beginning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can't really tell the key center, and so you can immediately say, ah, this feels like at least 20th century music.
When we assess the great composers of great symphonies, Beethoven, Brahms, Mahler, do you put Elgar in that pantheon?
I think the brilliance he exhibits in the two symphonies that he completed, since he started writing symphonies so late in life, even later than Brahms, who was pretty tardy on that front, he didn't get to complete his third symphony. So it's so hard to judge that microscopic output compared to, you know, the 9 Beethoven symphonies, the 9.5 Mahler symphonies. But I find these pieces really stand on their own. They make a statement. You feel that they're British through and through, and yet they're universal. So I feel very strongly about these pieces. I hope to bring them more often into the repertoire because I think the audiences really respond to them.
Maren Alsop is music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and they will perform Elgar's Symphony No. 1, May 10th through 13th. Maestro, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Great pleasure to talk to you, Scott. Thank you.
And you can read Marin's essay on Elgar and hear more of Symphony No. 1 at our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simons.